Just to review the fundamental principles at stake, there are really three outcomes that we can have in any particular halachic situation. One of them is heter legamrei, totally permissible. There's no iser shesia, there's no iser hanah. All the way on the other end of the spectrum is completely aser, aser b'shesia, aser b'hanah. And then the middle situation is you can't drink it, but we would allow you to benefit from it. You could sell it so that there's not going to be nearly as much of a loss. So the last mishnah in the fourth parak, this is Mishnah Yud Beis, talks about, again, a Jewish worker who's working on behalf of a non-Jew who wants to be able to sell to a kosher market. Hamitar yeno shel nachrev nosto b'rishuso ve'la kosev lo hiskabalti b'mechamos mutter. So as we pointed out yesterday, the second piece of introduction, should have mentioned it before the Mishnah, is that the more proprietary a sense that the Gentile has, that it's really his, the more that we're concerned about, even if the house, let's say, is open to the Rishus HaRabim, even if there are Jews in the neighborhood, the more that we're concerned about Yayin Nesach, about interference and handling of the Yayin. So if it's a situation where the non-Jew says, okay, I accept an IOU that you're going to pay me money for it, that itself is sufficient. Aval, im yirtzi Yisrael lotzio. But if the Jew would want to take it out, but he's not able to take it out until he actually gives over the money. In other words, the non-Jew is really staking an ownership claim to this wine and says, it's not just that, okay, you'll pay me next month for whatever you take, but I demand money now. That kind of proprietary attitude, that mentality is very concerning to us because we figure that there's really no mirsas, there's no yira, there's no sense of trepidation or deterrent in that scenario from the non-Jew just going and handling it as if it's completely his. And the rabbis were machmir in such a case. The first Mishnah of Perek Hey deals with situations of employee and hiring based relationships, including rentals. If a Jew accepts a job specifically for working with Yayin Nesach, which isn't just Aser B'Shasiyah, but is Aser B'Hanaya. You can't benefit at all. So it's not like, you know, this job, there's Havla, that it's somehow diluted, you know, by other work that you're doing, but it's to handle Yayin Nesach, which is Aser B'Hanaya, that Jew will not be able to collect his wages. This is a knas. The rabbi said, we're going to penalize you. We don't want Jews benefiting from Yayin Nesach, so it's not appropriate for a person to work in such conditions. Charalasos imom lacha charas, if he accepted an employment scenario for other work, avo pishamer lo haver li chavi shal Yayin Nesach m'makom m'machom scharo mutter. So even if in the course of that other work, the balabayas, the employer, says, okay, I want you to do a little bit of work with Yayin Nesach. So we would say in that situation, he's allowed to collect his wages. But the Gemara drills down a little bit further and says, but are you allowed to collect wages that were specifically for handling of Yayin Nesach? And the answer to that is no. So for example, if there were 100 barrels that he ended up moving, right, and one of them was Yayin Nesach, right, with respect to like, you know, he said that each one is, I don't know, a dollar. So he could get $99, but he can't get the dollar for Yayin Nesach if you can identify it. What could be even worse is if they were all mixed together. And again, it gets back to like the first case. If he says, I'll give you $100 to move these 100 barrels, and you don't know which one is Yayin Nesach, and the Jew takes the job, so we don't say that's acceptable. Even only one of them is Yayin Nesach, because the Gemara points out, maybe he would have never gotten the job in the first place if he didn't agree to move all 100. So in some sense, the Yayin Nesach is goreim, that he's able to get the full wages, so that could really be a significant problem. So a Jewish fellow who is running it at, you know, an Uber, you know, of the ancient world, so he's renting out donkeys, and the Gentile approaches him and says, you know, I have all of this Yayin Nesach that I want to move around. I'm going to need a donkey that can take a heavy load. So that's completely prohibited. He's not allowed to benefit from the rental wages because that's all basically hanaya from Yayin Nesach. Schara leshev alah, if a non-Jew wants to ride the donkey, avo pishenia chagoy legino alaha schara mutter. So if the Gentile decides to put the Yayin Nesach on the donkey in that situation, so that's what we call adaita denafshe. The Jew didn't have any connection to that. The Jew has no incentive to do that. He wasn't getting more because of that situation. It wasn't like, you know, the Jew was advertising, you know, come put your Yayin Nesach on my donkey. that's a situation where it's not going to be any kind of a problem. So again, here we're talking about situations where we have to control not just for the Isser Shasiya, but the Isser Hana'a as well. Okay, well, God willing, we'll pick it up on Sunday. And I already put it into the bulletin for this week. Mirtz Hashem, we'll make the Siyam on Mishnayos Avodah Zarah, Shalosh Shudos, of next week of Shabbos B'Shalach.